Brian Lawton is on the line with us now, old friend Brian. Great to talk to you. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Before we get to the Vegas and the NHL thing, I want to ask about the where we are in the high school season in Minnesota, because you love to pump it up and how big a deal it is, and it is the state of hockey, and that those high school tournaments are unbelievable. But where are they? Are they in the playdowns or playoffs yet for that?
Not quite. The playoffs start in February, and then the tournament is in March. It's a huge deal here. It's played at Xcel Energy Center, of course, where the Wild play. It is literally the largest crowds of the year that they get over there.
Unbelievable. How many is it? Is it a Frozen Four type of setup for each division or whatever, or do they have? Is it a bigger tournament that plays all the way down to what's the sort of when do they get to the Xcel Energy Center?
Plays all the way down in a conference format that is separated by region throughout the state.
Oh, okay.
So you always have a team come down from up north, which is fun. Up north being anywhere from 3 to 7 hours north.
Okay, gotcha. So
they always get a representative. It's controversial at times because the metro area, just like in Toronto, you know, there's so many people in the area. There's such great hockey in the area. That's the way it is here in Minneapolis. But there's a lot of pride and a lot of very famous National Hockey League players like the Brottons, of course. And in today's game, guys like Dustin Byfuglien, these guys are all from northern Minnesota. TJ Oshie, there's tons of them in the National Hockey League now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's like the hockey version of the Indiana State basketball tournament all those years. Hickory High coming in every once in a while and, you know, rocking the boat a little bit. Speaking of the rocking of the boat, what a horrible story with Jim Johansson, who was set to be the general manager. He's already been involved in 2 Olympics. This was going to be his third. And passed away in his sleep at 53, and obviously a great friend to American hockey. We saw the outpouring from people like Austin Matthews, the guys that have dealt with them. But I know for you, it's a little more personal than that. So if you could share some memories of Jim Johansson.
Yeah, no, it was. I was flying back yesterday, and of course I was online on the flight, and people were texting me, and I was like, I don't believe this. I can't believe it. I landed. I called his brother, who lives in the hometown that I live in here in Minnesota, Edina, Minnesota. And I caught him. He just landed in Denver. Jimmy was at Colorado Springs where he lived. You know, he was not feeling well. He told his wife that he didn't feel well, but he wanted to go upstairs, lay down, and just rest up for the Olympics. He was looking forward to it. It was a really unique challenge for him, of course, without NHL players. And unfortunately, he passed away in his sleep. And at 53 years old, this is a guy I played on a World Junior team with. This is a guy I played on 2 national teams with. This is a guy that I'm very close with, his brother, went to their wedding. You name it. It was just a shock for everybody. And what you don't realize is that in his role, and Jimmy worked for USA Hockey since 2000, he was the assistant executive director today, the general manager of the teams. It's not quite as big an organization as Hockey Canada is. This guy did it all. I mean, he was the general manager of the teams. He loaded sticks on the bus, as I heard Brian Burke talking about this morning. Knew everybody. And just the incredible outpouring of players shows the depth of how many people he touched.
Yeah, no question.
He's going to be sadly missed. It's really a horrible deal.
Yeah, and it's just again, as you said, the outpouring and hearing the bottom line seems to be talking about what you know, what kind of person that he was. And obviously, as you mentioned, a different challenge this time around with the Olympics being the non-NHL players. But perhaps that would have spoken to his roots in terms of, you know, the passion that he would have had in being a part of putting this team together, because that kind of goes back to what it always was like. And all the great American hockey stories were the 1960, 1980, when it wasn't the NHL guys. So I'm sure that that Jim, in his last acts in hockey, certainly would have been in a great place.
Well, he knew it well. He played in the 1988 Olympics in Calgary and in 1992, so he did participate in a couple. Never played in the NHL. But he fully understood what it meant to have amateur players in the tournament. And the U.S. it's not exactly the way it used to be back then, because it was specifically amateurs. Now, of course, there are amateur players on the team, but it's predominantly professionals in Europe. And he scoured the earth looking for these guys, scouting them. And I think it was a very, very big ordeal for anybody.
Yeah.
And it's just, I know, you know, just in the last couple of months, this guy had been all over the world.
Yeah.
Literally traveling to tournaments, scouting players, and it's just, it's really a shame.
Well, and those guys, you know, we cross them in every sport and in every country. There's always those guys that you know, that's their life, and that's the passion for it is phenomenal, and it's, you know, it impacts so many people and will continue to do that. When I mentioned the 1980, I'm just trying to think, what year were you picked first overall?
1983, I was on the 1984
Olympic team. Okay. So 1980, you were well into your career and on your way to where you were going to be. It tells me you were 15 or 16 years old. What was the impact like in the United States? Because to me, it's still the greatest sporting story. And I say it's nothing to do with, oh, Americans make it bigger. That is, it was given that Russian team, 79 and 81, the 2 years around it, hammered the best of the NHL, won in the Challenge Cup, 8-1, and then 6-0 in the Canada Cup the next year against the best Canadian players in the NHL. And in between there, this group of ragtag collegians, you know, knocks off the Russians. Did it change anything for you in terms of what your goal became? Would the 84 Olympic team have been in your sights if that hadn't happened, in terms of, is that where you were headed, the way American hockey was?
I was 14 years old, and I can remember being at a friend's house as a hockey player around a bunch of other hockey players, kids in a tournament on a weekend, and watching the U.S. beat the Russians, and literally can remember thinking, wow, that would be really amazing to be on the Olympic team. It's definitely up there in the top three greatest wins by anybody. Any way you slice it, it's always heightened because of the political climate at that time. 1980 embargoes.
Yeah, perfect storm for story, like that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it was incredibly influential in my life. And, you know, I would end up making the Olympic team in 84. So I was 14 when they won in 80. So now I'm 18 years old. And ultimately, in one of the biggest regrets of my life, and I have many things I wish I'd done differently, like most people, I wish I had played in that Olympics.
Yeah.
We were in Sarajevo. The climate was not necessarily that safe, if you remember what was going on in the world back then.
Yeah, that's right.
I was a little bit afraid of the fact that nothing could come close to what these young men did in 1980.
Good point. Yeah, it's a tough act to follow.
A tough act to follow. I wish in hindsight I had undertaken that challenge. It was a great group of guys. Chris Chelios.
Pat LaFontaine was on that team, wasn't he?
Patty LaFontaine was on that team. Scotty Bukestad. Lots of guys I knew and were friends of mine. And in hindsight, I absolutely, as I'm much older now, wish I had taken on that challenge.
Well, it's an interesting argument, I should say, because there's a few junior kids that passed it up, and that's what a lot of people from the back of the day saying, no, you got it. You don't realize what, you know, what this is about. But it's difficult when you're 18 trying to make that decision. And again, we're back in a similar climate right now. If that's something that people would consider, then, you know, that's all up to the individual. I want to get to the Vegas Knights with you, because this is now been flipped on its ear, that here we are. And, you know, I've said every single person that mentions, oh, the Vegas Knights, we kind of chuckle. Like, look at them. They're still doing it. They're first in the league now. And it's like they had set themselves up perfectly with the expansion draft to have all these chips to play and get draft pick after draft pick and be set to build slowly and be good for another, you know, 6-7 years. Now, suddenly, they're very good right now. What do they do when it comes to the trade deadline? Do you think that they keep this group and keep the two UFAs and try to make a run and put their stamp on the city and with hockey right off the bat? Or what would you do?
I talked to George McPhee reasonably often, and it's been really interesting, the conversations we have. You know, the plan obviously was not to be where they're at. that just was not something I think they envisioned in their wildest dreams. I don't think they went home and said, well, you know, we might be in first after 46 games.
Yeah, if that's the case, we'll visit it then.
Yeah. Those guys down in Tampa, Hedman and Stamkos, I was there as the general manager in Tampa when these guys came on board or were drafted. And we went through a lot of pain to get those guys. And they come into the league through an expansion draft, and their first is absolutely incredible.
It is.
So what do I think they do in my conversations with George? I think his mindset has changed over the course of the year. But I know he's one of these guys that has a close connection with the group in his room, and he recognizes that I cannot pull the rug out from underneath what these young men have been able to accomplish this year. So I'd be surprised. And I haven't been surprised as we've seen some of their guys being extended here recently. If that were to happen, I think the plan originally was to move as many of these guys as we could and build up our draft picks. I think the plan has been thrown out the window, and now it's a very fluid equation. And I see these UFAs continuing, Neil, guys like that, I see them as a very, very strong possibility to re-sign. Not necessarily before the deadline, but before they become UFA, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, they're probably having a good time. I mean, you know, Vegas, and take away the strip. The players are going to do that when they go, and that's fine. I mean, Vegas is a lot more. It's the climate. It's a booming city. It's energized. It's the beautiful weather. And if it's too hot in the summer, which it is, those guys have the money to go somewhere where it's not too hot. So there's an opportunity. As I say, these guys stay, and then you're still building up draft picks that it's, I mean, it just, like you said, going through it in Tampa, it just is outrageous. It could not have landed more perfectly for them. And then look at Gerard Gallant. That's what I want to get a comment on. I mean, what a story he is, given how it unfolded for him in the last stop and the way it was treated. And now suddenly he's in this situation too. It's some good stuff across the board in that Vegas story.
It is so eye-opening as to the ups and downs in the National Hockey League. Gerard Gallant literally left on the curb in Carolina to try to fend for himself.
Literally, yes.
After a game. And, you know, here he is I guess it's probably been a little bit more than a year. I can't remember the exact date. But here he is now, and his team is number one in the league. He's in a new town that has absolutely embraced his players, the organization. I just don't think that they have missed on anything. And they had a horrible tragedy. I thought originally that would really hurt the hockey team, and they have just emboldened themselves with the community that it's actually brightened their star. And I don't mean to say that disrespectfully for something that was so horrific.
Mm.
But the team has helped to heal the community, and the community recognizes that. It's
absolutely
been a really beautiful thing to see.
Same thing happened with Houston in the baseball. There's a place for sports, and that gets the community, you know, around it and helps get through those awful things that unfortunately, whether it's nature or whether it's an act of a madman, that they're prevalent in this world. Have you been to a game yet in Vegas?
I have not.
Yeah.
I have absolutely. I've had more people go as guests to Vegas on me. So please, yeah, Anybody listening out there, feel free to call me, and I'll help set that up.
Yeah, I mean,
but I plan to. My schedule with NHL Network has been very, very full. I am hoping in February or March to get out there for a regular season game.
Yeah, when you're a studio analyst, it's hard. You're not exactly moving around if you're working with the one team and traveling. That's a different story. So, final thing for you. And I hate to bring it up, but I know you're a Minnesota guy. What was the mood? I know you're probably not back there for the watching the NFC Championship game with your state brethren. But what's the mood like in talking to people today? Is it the old, okay, we know we're Minnesota, we're the Vikings, this was bound to happen at some point? Or was there a real feeling that might have been an opportunity yesterday?
I got back into Minnesota yesterday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I saw purple from the minute I landed. The town was absolutely going crazy. The prospect of the Vikings being in the Super Bowl when it's in Minnesota was just an absolute frenzy here, fortunately. And I went to a Viking party last night with many, many friends, and it was a real downer.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
The Vikings are 0-4 in the finals, tied with the Bills, I believe, is the only other team that's been and never won. And there's been lots of other organizations that have lost four great organizations, but they've also won a number of them, like San Fran, I think, is 5-4, maybe even.
But yeah, it's getting there is one thing, but you want to get that one to put the other. Denver was like that until they finally broke through with Elway. So, oh man, it's tough, but it's a great community with that football team. I know that, but it's star-crossed as well.
It was painful yesterday.
Brian, appreciate it. Our time is short. Good to talk to you. And when you do get to Vegas, please let me know what the atmosphere is like. I don't expect it to be anything less than spectacular, but appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure, Brad. Thank you.